It's racing through a different set of goggles. With his unique look at the great game, it's time for Beer and Skittles with Mitchell Beer.
It's been a couple of weeks since we've caught up with Mitchell Beer, and he joins us now on his very own segment. Good morning, Mitch.
Morning, Matty. Back with a vengeance.
Yes, and you've been back with a vengeance as well, training winners. And a few of our listeners have reminded me, Mitch, you did declare My Bold Boy a couple of weeks ago, and he didn't exactly salute that day, but he did yesterday. Thanks for the mail.
No, well, he stood in the barriers, missed it 4 or 5 lengths, and then circumnavigated the field to run third when the money was on 10 days ago. But when the grasshopper, Jason Lyon, sawed him to the front, he was all over in the first 50 yesterday. The punters were cheering at Royal Narendra.
Yes, well, so well done. Anyway, that's My Bold Boy, who's owned by the two units lads who have a big part to play in RSN Central each and every Friday. Where does he head next?
He's on the quick backup. He goes back to Narendra on Sunday. He goes around again over the 1,000. So he's one to follow. He's struck a bit of form, young chippies. But, yeah, the boys were up and about, the two units boys. Stoltz declared him, which made me very nervous, but he was good enough to carry us all.
Well, Nick Foot would have been in his AFL umpire's Mad Monday, I would have thought.
I'm not sure if you've seen the photo of Nick Foot's Mad Monday AFL. Absolute. I know the Geelong boys got most of the mentions yesterday, but absolutely outstanding. I reckon we could dig that up and put it on the socials, because it's gone extremely unnoticed.
So he was dressed up as one of the characters from The Inbetweeners, is that right? Which is a UK comedy show, which is, it's what, 10 or 15 years old now, I would have thought, that show?
Yeah, but he lives in the past, Nick, so we've got to cut him a little bit of slack.
He's a good man. He looked in great nick yesterday there at the Mad Monday. Now, Mitch, did you enjoy the weekend's sport and racing? It was an absolute feast of activities. We had Group 1s on each and every day, and the grand final itself was a bit of a fizzer, but it was a wonderful long weekend.
It was terrific. I had a couple of runners at Canberra, so I was spewing that I couldn't sit back and watch the grand final, but halfway through the first quarter, I thought, well, I haven't missed much, and we had a winner at Canberra, so it all worked out all right. But I absolutely loved watching quality racing yesterday, and I think there's got to be room to explore that Sunday option. I totally get. I get it as much as anyone else about the strain of on staffing and having racing on Sunday. But I think it does really have its place. And I think if we can sort of cut back in other areas and look to really capture that audience on a Sunday, especially through some of those higher sporting periods of the year where we've got a really big competition against racing. I reckon that Sunday afternoon, watching you know, decent gallopers go around is absolutely spot on.
So you're saying you would like to see occasionally the feature meeting on a Saturday move to the Sunday and then have a lesser meeting on a Saturday? Is that what you're suggesting?
Oh, I think it certainly has its place. I mean, there are times where there is a decent clash on a Saturday and racing's really got to fight for its slice of the pie. And I think you know, dropping back and capturing the Sunday is spot on. But then it's got to be a balance of easing the pressure on participants. With, you know, we can't be going Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it would take some working out. But I certainly, I don't think anyone was opposed to being able to not have to make the decision between watching a grand final or watching a major sporting event and then having the option of backing it up on Sunday.
I'm not sure, Mitch, what the majority of the jockeys think about racing on a Sunday at the Metro tracks. But Luke Nolan, if he could ride the sort of horses that he did on Sunday and have the sort of day that he did on Sunday, he might be a fan of it. And he joins us on the line now after the win of I Wish I Win there in the last at Sandown, and also a nice win on Waltz on By, both for Peter Moody. Good morning, Luke. Thanks for your time this morning on Beer and Skittles.
Morning, boys. How are we going?
We're well, thank you. Now, I Wish I Win has come from absolutely nowhere to rocket up the market for the Cox Plate. Tell us, what sort of field does I Wish I Win give you, Luke? Are we talking about, you know, a pretty special horse here?
I think he's elite. I think he's got the makings of being an elite horse. Yeah, and he's two runs for Pete, being first class. You know, so he's relatively untouched. Since they gelded him off, when Pete acquired him, yeah, he's been a bit of a revelation. So, he's in the right camp. So I'm sure they'll place him well, and he'll have a nice, long, successful career, hopefully.
Luke, Mitch Beer, well done on the weekend, mate. That was bloody awesome. Dropping into moods to ride track work, it must be, you know, being like a kid in a candy store sometimes with the new additions that enter his stable, and you know, many of them have come with pretty good raps and pretty decent credentials, and, you know, this horse put the writing on the wall in New Zealand. But he came here with a bit of a question mark whether he could, you know, measure up or not to our elite level. How early on did you sort of get a feel for him before you sort of thought, oh, well, hang on, we're on to something here?
First time I rode him at the trials. It was only a month ago, I think, a bit over. That was the first time I actually sat on him. And I said to Pete, I really like him. I like him a lot. So he came up a bit soon for me when he went round first up. So Jamie, she rode him, but there's a bloke in the ownership. Well, he's quite a share of him, Peter Gordon Moody, and he's a pretty good supporter of mine. So even when Jamie won on him first up, I got the gig second up. So he's a nice horse. He's pretty unassuming, but physically he looks an outstanding individual. So yeah, we're going to have some fun with him, I really believe.
Hey, Luke, yesterday on Racing Pulse, Peter Moody joined the guys on the verdict, and I was really interested when he started talking about you and how he sees you right now. His feeling was that you look as motivated and as hungry as you were during the Black Caviar days. Is that a fair observation of moods of you right now?
I don't think I lost any ability saying that. But
I think he was talking more about the hunger and the motivation.
Listen, I understand. Probably it waned a little bit. My mum passed away last year, and we had a bit of a lazy start to spring. When I say lazy, I was a bit heavier, and I wasn't probably as motivated as probably should have been. And he's probably seen it probably a bit different, but I got sick of everyone riding me horses, so I thought I better have get off the pot, and I better have a crack, so I did.
Mate, you touched on your weight there, and we've had a pretty cold and draggy sort of start to spring, and this is the time of year, you know, your better horse is coming back, and you're trying to get your weight down. Just for the punters out there that sort of don't understand it, how the weather and meetings being called off and things like that, it does play a real effect with your weight and what you're able to ride, and with things warming up and your weight getting down. So, you know, is that something that you're working towards with that better weather coming that you'd be able to sort of just lose that extra few kicks?
Well, it just helps you keep it in check, but you don't seem to hold on to as much when it warms up, you know. But we haven't really. We've had a couple of teaser days down here. I know you're up in Albury, Mitch, and it's always about 5 or 6 degrees warm up there any time of year, you know. But it does make better weather, better horses too. Seem to help you with your weight a lot more, but I've got a real focus this year. Well, yeah, just with some nice ones coming through, and my missus give me a kick in the bum too, so making sure I'm available for these horses when they come up.
Gun jockey.
You don't need much more motivation than that.
Gun jockey Luke Nolan's on the line here on Beer and Skittles. You're with Matt Nevitt and Mitchell Beer. Hey, Luke, just on Moods himself, like this time around, have you noticed any changes in him? He's obviously got his team absolutely humming at the moment. He's got some star horses going around, which you're lucky enough to ride quite a few of them. I Wish I Win and Waltz on By over the weekend were victorious there at Sandown. Have you noticed a change in Moods this time around?
He's probably he's been able to allow other people to sort of do their jobs in the camp, you know. He was a real he had a hand on everything when he was doing it when we were at Caulfield, and he's been able to just relax and delegate responsibilities to very capable people, but he's always hands on, Peter. But I've found him; he's been able to delegate and share responsibility with Catherine and a number of the other staff members at Peak now. And he's in a great headspace, you still get spray, but you bugger one up. But he seems he's got a good work-life balance at the moment, and he's a happy bloke. I just got to get him off the bungers. That's all I've got to do. So I managed to give him up 8 years ago, and he gave him up shortly before me, and he went back on him, unfortunately. But I just got to get him off them, and we'll be all really happy.
Yeah, it sounds like you might have your work cut out on that task.
He smokes for Australia. So,
After spring, wait till after spring.
Hey, Luke, obviously, Waltz on By and I Wish I Win are a couple of the star horses that you've been lucky enough to ride recently. Another one is Boogie Dancer. How exciting is she heading towards 1,000 guineas?
Oh, she's going to prep right into 1,000 guineas really good. And it doesn't matter. She doesn't need bottomless ground to show her true wares. She's as effective on top of the ground. So with her win the other day, albeit on affected ground, due to three or torn up weeks between runs. I think she went down for a week at the beach, and she'll be back in to just tick over gallop next week, I suppose, and that'll bring her right on. So she's in really good order. Really happy of her. She's just a no frills, no fuss sort of horse. She takes everything in her stride. She's very casual, and everyone loves her at home. So. She's got the right temperament to be a good horse, and hopefully she's a Group 1 winner with that temperament in about 10 days' time.
And on Saturday, you flew up to Sydney to ride Mullane in the Golden Rose. He finished 8th. What did you make of his run?
Very good run. We got a massive shout just before the races, and he wants bone dry, our bloke, and he presented into the race down, but then he doesn't accelerate as well on affected ground. If there's a bit of grease there, he seems he's very tradesman-like, and he just goes for the paces a bit. Whereas top of the ground, he's electric. His turn of foot is electric, and we haven't been able to see him do that this time around. He was great his first, and then he started as a two-year-old, but his three runs as a three-year-old have all been on affected ground. So we're just waiting. Well, hopefully, I think he would have come through that run good and well. The trip away to Sydney would have no doubt tightened him up. I think all going well, he goes to Caulfield Guineas. We just need Bernard. If he gets that, he'll put his hand up. He's a quality animal. He's a Group 1 winner in the amazing. But we just need everything to suit race day. Track condition-wise.
All right, let's hope that we can see the best of Mullane. Hey, before we let you go, Lee's sent us a text. He says, surely Luke's phone's been ringing for the Menangatang races.
I was born in Menang, yes, and I haven't. I only rode there actually as an apprentice. But, it's a good day. Anyone want to go to a proper good old bush country meeting? You've got Birdsville and Menangatang on the bucket list because they are two crackers. So you'll have you'll have a wonderful time up there in Menang. Yeah, it's a good spot.
Yeah, I've been and I can concur. Hey, Luke, well done over the weekend. The Peter Moody team is flying. So too are you, mate. We wish you all the best over the coming weeks and especially excited to see what I Wish I Win could potentially do at Moonee Valley in October.
That's potentially, yeah. But we're getting through the Turak first. And, we'll tick that box, hopefully. And, anything can happen. So, yeah, we're in the right camp. He's in the right camp, and he'll be afforded every chance to get to a race like that.
Good on you, Luke. Appreciate your time here on RSN Central.
Cheers, boys. Thank you.
There is champion jockey Luke Nolan joining us after his double at Sandown on Sunday. He rides I Wish I Win, who will head to the Toorak Handicap as extremely tough to beat, one of the favourites there. And then, who knows, maybe lands at Moonee Valley for a Cox Plate. Mitch, it's certainly one of the X-factor horses in the market right now.
One of my absolute favourites. I think saw his Cranbourne trial win, and then he absolutely saved the day when we're on our Cairns trip. We were chipped in, I Wish I Win, and he quickly became a cult hero of mine and backed it up on Sunday. So can't wait to see him go through the spring.
Hey, the feature race this week at Flemington is the Turnbull Stakes. It's often known as moving day. I would say a lot of the top line weight for age horses are probably not going to be there on Saturday. A lot of them are obviously involved in the Underwood, and often they can sort of shift between those two races when they're back to back, obviously. So what's your favourite Turnbull memory over the years?
Mine will definitely be Efficient. I think it was 2000.
We've got the audio. Do you want to have a listen to it, Mitch?
Oh, yeah, let it rip. Let it rip.
Predatory Pricer, a length and a half away, is coming home strongly. And then Scenic Shot, Red Ruler starting to work home, and Efficient is down the outside. Maldivian tackled by Predatory Pricer. Efficient mowing them down. Predatory Pricer's hit the front. Efficient, grab him. Efficient has got up to beat Predatory Pricer. Red Ruler might get third. Maldivian weakening late.
Yeah, so that was 2009, Mitch. Efficient winning the Turnbull Stakes, and it turned out to be a pretty good year for him.
So started my first ever job with horses with Lloyd Williams, and one night they asked for someone to go out in the truck and pick up this batch of horses from New Zealand, and worked with a very, very great old horseman called Les Turner, and these six or seven horses got off the plane, and there was this grey colt that was putting on a bit of performance. It was a bit of a rat bag, and the old fella I was out with said, there's something about that horse. He's got something about him. And the next day I was in his box, mucking out his box, and he put his ears back. He chased me to the back of the box, and I scrambled up the wall and sat on the ledge and screaming out for help, and absolutely packed myself. I was petrified of him. And he ended up getting gelded and chilling out a little bit, and he turned out to be Efficient. And was there when he won the Derby and when he won the Melbourne Cup, and worked with Lloyd Williams throughout that period, and it was just incredible. He was an incredible, incredible horse.
He was. You can go and see him, actually, at Living Legends. I remember going out there last year, actually, and having a look at him. He's known as Fish.
Yeah, the Fish. He still pins his ears back and has a bit of his old grumpy quality about him. But how terrific is that, you know, with Living Legends? You know, we talk about these horses in the past, but they're still here in the present, where you can go out and give them a pat and relive their accomplishments and their achievements. It's bloody terrific.
No, you're right. I took my nan out there for her birthday last year, and just the two of us walked around with the tour guide and got to feed them a few carrots. It was, you know, it was a terrific day. So
only because it was free, Matty.
No, it's not if you actually get a tour guide, Mitch. I forked out for Nan's birthday.
Well,
so
I hope there was a lunch or a dinner involved. Just a cheeky gold coin donation around Living Legends is a bit stiff.
No, they do a terrific job out there. Hey, I don't know whether this is my favourite Turnbull Stakes memory, but I would say it's my most memorable. Let's have a listen.
There's a gap for Wings. She's going to have to explode. Trap for Bulls at the 200. Kings Will Dream back to the inside. Wings down the middle. Kings Will Dream at the 100. It's getting desperate. Now Wings is storming home. Wings over the top. Oh, she's too good. The card beater. Wings has won it by a length. Second young star.
So that was Wings in the Turnbull Stakes in 2018. And I think it was the one time where on course. There was another time where she missed the jump. I think it was in the what's now known as the Winx Stakes, and she flew home to win over 1,400 metres first up. But I genuinely thought with a couple of hundred to go, she was in real strife. And I remember where I was and the look on the faces of the people around me, and then she just did what Winx does.
Sort of funny reliving Winx and Black Caviar, because it's not a... I think some of our first and most precise memories with those two horses is when we thought they were going to go under, not when they actually won. And I remember everyone, you know, there'd always be that... You'd always have that one friend in the friendship show and be like, nah, this is the day. This is the day. Nah, she, it won't win today. She's going under. And they just never did. It was unbelievable.
Well, I mean, the moment you're referring to with Black Caviar, obviously, was at Royal Ascot, and we just had Black Caviar's jockey, Luke Nolan, and I contemplated asking him about it.
Oh, no.
Mitch,
no,
it crossed my mind. I just got a little bit nervous. I thought, no, I'll leave him alone on that one because...
No, he wouldn't be back. I think he's relived that one too many times.
Yeah, we'll let him off the hook. Hey, the Beer of the Year Award, it's one of the most prestigious awards in Victorian racing. I want to know who finds themselves in the votes this week, Mitch?
1 point, Damien Lane. He's thought his ride on Jack and Owen, his patience was unbelievable. He knew how quick they were going, and he knew the horse that he had underneath him. So he's definitely getting a point. 2 points, James Cummings. Trendy's 1,000th winner on the weekend, which is just incredible. I know he's got a big team there with Godolphin, but to train 1,000 winners at that age and having trained for as long as he has is remarkable.
Well, the 100 winners he's remarkable. Trained in the last month helps.
Yeah, or the 47 he trained last Saturday. that went a long way to doing it. And three votes. It's a combination of three, but they're an amazing trio, and that's Waterhouse, Bott and Clark. I think what they've done with Alligator Blood is simply remarkable. But I think where they're such a good combination, I mean, there's one thing with stables finding really, really good jockeys and pairing up with good jockeys and having a relationship. But Tim Clark suits that stable so much because his ability to assess time in front and his ability to rate horses and then riding for a powerhouse stable that majority of their horses are on speed and need to be rated and trained to go to the front. You know, they've got a rider there that really, really fits the mold of how they train their horses. And it's a killer combination.
Oh, it's a great call. And I reckon this Alligator Blood story is, it's been, I reckon, just a touch undersold, Mitch. Like, if you wind the clock back to Queensland in the middle of the year, if at the start of his preparation, if you had have said that he was going to win the Stradbroke, you would have laughed. He wins the Stradbroke. We say what a great story it is.
Oh, he was gone.
He was. There were people calling for him to obviously retire. They thought it was, you know, stupid that that... This is widespread thoughts that, you know, the horse should have been retired, that they shouldn't be running him. Get him to overcome the issues that he had, and then not only that, to win a big handicap in the winter, to win a Weight for Age contest on Sunday, which had some of the major players in the Cox Plate engaged, and to fend them off the way that he did, he's just a serious racehorse.
You throw a Cox Plate in that resume, and it's probably the story of generation.
No, I couldn't agree more. And I guess the question marks around a lot of these horses, it will be, you know, how will they handle Moonee Valley, 2,000 metres. Everything that Alligator Blood has done so far would suggest that he won't have too many issues.
Anyone who thinks the Cox Plate is going to be lacking anything this year without internationals needs their head read.
No, I couldn't agree more, and I wouldn't be ruling out Zaki either after losing over the weekend. I don't think he's out of the question. It was interesting, actually, David Gately's comments yesterday on Racing Rewind. He said that with Animo at $3 and Zaki at $6, if you gave me $100 to spend, I'd still rather have it on Zaki at double the quote. So it's not a foregone conclusion that Animo's just going to go there and go around them.
He knows his stuff.
He certainly does. Yeah, can't wait for the Cox Plate. It's going to be fascinating. We just touched on I Wish I'll Win as well with Luke Nolan. Speaking of Group 1s this season, Mitch, I know this is something that you wanted to discuss. Horses that are deserving of a Group 1 that haven't got there yet, are there a couple that come to mind for you?
Oh, I just kept going back to Bella Nipotina on Friday night. I know Cool and Gadda's a star on the rise, and I just think she's probably, you know, between her and Icebath, if there's any horse that's going to poke their head out in a Group 1, this year, you'd love to see. I think how gutsy she is and the form that she's in and the horses that she's run into, Bella Nipotina, and then, yeah, as I said, Ice Bath. And it got me thinking, like, you know, there's plenty of jockeys and trainers out there that are, you know, well-deserving of a Group 1, but there's plenty of horses that are just missed a couple of times or just off that mark. And those two, I think, are two horses that no one would begrudge to see get the major one next to their name this spring.
Yeah, no, she's such a good horse, Bella Nipotina. And on Ice Bath, she's in terrific form as well, this preparation. She's just looking like a Group 1 winner in waiting, and she's currently the $4 favourite with the tab for the Epsom on Saturday. So looking forward to that. Hey, Mitch, have you got a winner for us for the remainder of the week?
I think if my bold boy backs up on Saturday on the dry track, we'll just double up.
My bold boy. Where's this, sorry?
On Sunday, back at Royal Narrandera.
All right, we're back at Narrandera on Sunday. My bold boy goes around. He's known as Chippies. He's saluted this week. And we've already backed him once. Wasn't to a great deal of success here on Central. But we'll do it again, Mitch. We will load up on My Bold Boy. Hey, appreciate your time this morning. Good luck this week. We'll catch up next week.
There's only one way to get out, Maddie, and that's to go again.
Gamble responsibly. There's Mitchell Beer joining us for Beer and Skittles on this Tuesday morning. It's 19 minutes to midday. We'll take a break in a moment, and then we'll come back with the Form Express. Just having a look at these markets for Saturday that have currently been released. So the Epsom, you've got Ice Bath as the $4 favourite. Hinged is at $4.50. Top Ranked, who I've got a lot of time for, is at $6. Fangirls at $7. Then you're out to $11 for Crosstalk and $13 for Nimile. And the Metropolitan market is also open. So Durston's the $3.50 favourite now.